Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Ben Flanagan of AL.com. Ben Stark of Wondermill Films.
Good morning, Ben.
Morning, Ben.
Well, I wish we were on the phone under better circumstances, but we thought we should talk about the passing of Bill Paxton, who is an actor that, I don't know if you're like me, but it's, you know, it's not a good feeling to realize you had taken somebody kind of for granted, and then you look at their filmography and see how many little gems that they, gems of performances that they had. This recent, celebrity deaths is, you know, people are allowed to get emotional about whatever they want to get emotional about, you know, but usually that I do have a distance, and obviously there's a distance here, but this one, for whatever reason, struck me in a different way, and I can't really explain why, but, yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with Bill Paxton's presence in my, in the movies I watched a lot as a kid. How did this sad news strike you?
Well, strike is a good word, because I was absolutely just at a loss for words when it happened, because Bill Paxton has just been so synonymous with my personal, the fabric of my personal movie-going upbringing. He's been in so many good movies, and if you want to say maybe not so many good movies, then just so many movies that were a part of our lives that we had to see growing up. I personally think he was in a ton of good movies, and I think he gave so many great performances in them. And you know, I like to think that I appreciated him while he was there, because I liked when he was in the movies. I liked when he was cast, and when he would show up as the lead or a supporting actor in whatever movie he happened to be a part of. If Bill Paxton was in the cast, then it was a net positive for the movie. So, and for me as a moviegoer, so this one really hurt too, because I mean, it's just, you know, not necessarily that, you know, we don't know Bill Paxton, but like you said, celebrity deaths are a little tricky, especially for fans of the work that they're a part of. But there was just such a familiarity with him based on his presence in those movies and in one show in particular, that it's strange, and it does feel like you're sort of like losing a family member in terms of how often you watched movies growing up, because he had such a prominent role in so many of them, and those were blockbusters. Some of them were even independent. He was a supporting player. He was a leading man. I mean, he could kind of do it all. He could do comedy. He could be great in action movies. He could add the levity to action movies, and he could be dramatic too. So the guy had incredible range. He had a really terrific sort of manic and goofy energy. And again, I mean, he could do leader supporting, and he had a really incredible versatility that he would also later show in his career as a director, giving us a great horror movie too. So this is a big loss.
Yeah, absolutely. He's like I said, when I was going through his filmography, just, you know, there's the immediate ones that spring to mind for me. For me, his seminal performance is in True Lies. His performance as Simon in that movie, he plays this sniveling car salesman who pretends to be a spy so that he can woo, you know, bored housewives, and he has this whole separate identity and narrative set up. The way he plays every side of that character, both as the very serious spy, both as the himself, the used car salesman, and then when he totally loses it, when he faces a real life spy in Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he totally crumples under the pressure. It's one of the most satisfying, you know, villain, you know, soft villain performances ever. And I remember as a kid just thinking that it was not just hilarious, but also there's something empathetic to that guy, you know, and he brings a humanity and a sincerity to what could have been a really shallow and stupid little subplot. But that's, it's entirely what it is. It's a subplot, but at the same time, it's one of the highlights of that movie. So for me, Bill Paxton is that's the highlight. But then I look, and then other things stand out too. But I looked at his filmography, and I was shocked to see. I totally forgot he's in Apollo 13. You know, which is such a strong ensemble, and he brings such a weight in that movie. When I feel like of all the guys, he gets sick throughout that movie, and it's just like. Just the stakes of it so much. And then another movie that he was in that I totally forgot, but I remember watching with my parents when I was a kid, Indian Summer. And I feel like there's so many 90s titles, you know, that he popped up in. Twister, of course, Tombstone. But for me, the standout was True Lies. And then in recent years, you mentioned the movie he directed, Frailty, which was a big influence on the short film that friend of the show, Jeremy Burgess, and I worked on together, Dead Saturday, a few years ago. And even, like, when we were making our short list for the lead, one of the leads in that movie, I mean, Bill Paxton was very high on that list just because of that short, but we, you know, I don't think we would have been able to get him. Yeah, True Lies is the big one for me. Do you have a big one, or is it kind of a collection of major roles?
It's a collection, but I think you're right in that True Lies is probably the best place for him to sort of like showcase what all he could do and showcase something totally new he could do. And there were examples of that sort of, again, that sort of like manic goofiness and energy. You can go back to his first collaboration with James Cameron, Terminator, where he plays the blue spiky haired punk who has the first encounter with this death machine cyborg that unbeknownst to him that goes wrong. And he's great in that. He's just got a great moment in that little scene. And then again, his next movie with James Cameron in Aliens, where he plays Hudson, this like super wiry, member of this team of space Marines that he is like the first to really sort of lay out how in over their heads they are when they encounter this colony of acid spewing killer aliens in one of the greatest action movies of all time. And it's, you know, it's a small dose, but he's so great. And he chews scenery and he just has a really terrific charisma. And it's great to see that Cameron was loyal to him and gave him an even bigger opportunity to showcase that in True Lies. So yeah, that's definitely a favorite. And I just think like the collective works with Cameron really stand out for me. But you know, my wife and I, we watched the entire run of Big Love, his HBO series, and not to go too far into TV nerds territory here, but it was a great, like, as a fan of Bill Paxton's, I was thrilled to learn that he had landed a lead role in an HBO series sort of at the height of that network's powers as this polygamist father who is married to three women in Utah. It's a really good show, and he's great on it, and he's just like such a steady presence on it. But getting back to movies, I mean, yeah, like again, you could say the same thing about Twister when he landed the lead in that, and that he sort of established that he could be a leading man in a major blockbuster that was incredibly successful. And I'm surprised he didn't get more opportunities like that. But you know, he showed the very next year that, or a couple of years later, that he could be a leading man in a movie that had, you know, a fraction of the budget and Sam Raimi's A Simple Plan, and really carries that through when that has showcased performances from people like Billy Bob Thornton and even Bridget Fonda. He just does really terrific work. And, I mean, you mentioned Apollo 13, where it seems like, you know, it's got a huge ensemble with big stars like Tom Hanks, Ned Harris, who have more breakout showcasing performances. But the guy's just so steady, and if he has to do background work, to look at something like True Lies and just a few years later or a year later even to do a movie like and give a performance like Apollo 13, it just shows such a terrific range of versatility. I mean, the guy, I think, is underrated as an actor.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned TV. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a movie that my wife and I watched the first few seasons of. And it's not a great show. It's a lot of fun, but he has a season-long stint on it, and it's the highlight of the show. And it was a few years ago, and I was like, man, I don't see enough Bill Paxton. Like, it was one of those things where you see an actor and something, and you're like, he just knows how to delight in being in front of the camera, and he knows how to play stuff, and he knows how to be playful. And then, of course, he popped up recently in two really, really great movies, Edge of Tomorrow and Nightcrawler. And those felt like, you know, God, I'm going to hate myself for saying it this way, but vintage Bill Paxton, you know, where he played kind of a stodgy drill instructor and then kind of this wiry, scuzzy ambulance-chasing reporter in the other one. But, yeah, he seemed to kind of slow down in recent years and pick stuff a little bit more delicately, but what he picked really showcased his best. And I think from the get-go, we should probably thank obviously he was going to break out no matter what, but I think we should thank James Cameron for, keeping him on board from Terminator to Aliens and then giving him such a great showcase in True Lies.
Yeah, and you mentioned Nightcrawler, which for me was one of his best performances, like, obviously, best performances of his career for me. And like you said, I mean, he sort of recaptures that, or at least brings back that wiry smarminess that we saw in True Lies and that we saw in Aliens and in some of those other movies we mentioned. He just has a couple of really great scenes with Jake Gyllenhaal, especially when he tries to recruit Jake Gyllenhaal to be part of his ambulance chasing crime reporting team. Just some of his best work ever, and it was just so good to see that he still had that in his back pocket if he needed it. But you're right. I mean, I guess in the 2000s up to Nightcrawler or Edge of Tomorrow, that big 2014 that he had, you're right. He did sort of, you know, he still did fine work, you know, and he would pop up in movies like Haywire.
Haywire.
He was in, I'm reading here, I haven't seen the movie, but he was in Two Guns with Denzel Washington and Mark Wahlberg and Million Dollar Arm, the Disney baseball movie with John Hamm. And they were much more low-key, and they weren't meant to chew as much scenery. But he was a guy that was just obviously so dependable. But, man, like, you almost look back on his career and wish that he had more opportunities to sort of play a little bit more like he did in those smaller roles. You just wonder, what could he do if he harnessed that for a feature-length movie? And, you know, I think an underrated movie in performance of his that I know that people really love, but people just kind of tend to forget about it as you're going, you know, through this long list of big movies. But the Carl Franklin crime movie, One False Move, from 1992, which is co-written by Billy Bob Thornton, and Billy Bob Thornton co-stars in it. It's a really, really good crime movie that people definitely need to check out however they can. I don't know if it's streaming or whatever. Check your local library, but he plays a small-town Arkansas police chief who has a run-in with super dangerous Los Angeles drug dealers who roll through his town, and it's a really great, just a really great, again, another showcase for him as a leading man and somebody who can sort of do it all, but it's just also a really good crime movie, so check that out.
Nice. I'm so glad you brought up Haywire. And just beyond the screen, it seems like everything I'm seeing kind of confirms our suspicions of what we would assume based on his performances, which is that he was just a really funny, sincere, good guy. You know, I mean, the Oscars happened last night, and Jennifer Aniston had a really nice touch in her opening presentation of the In Memoriam section, and she mentioned Paxton, and you could tell she was breaking up talking about it because she apparently knew him personally and knew what kind of a loss this was. Anything we should have covered and didn't?
I don't think so. I think we pretty much covered it. I mean, he's in a ton of movies, but I think we nailed the highlights. I hate that I didn't mention Next of Kin with Patrick Swayze. Have you heard of that movie?
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware of it.
He plays like it's a small role, but he plays like the catalyst that like sets everything into motion in the movie. and I need to go back and watch it. I think I only ever watched it when Graham and I went over to our cousins who had HBO back in maybe like 1991. I don't know.
So it's always a shame. Obviously, it's always a shame when anybody passes away. But somebody so young, clearly such a great person and a great actor, he will definitely be missed.
Definitely.
For Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited, coming soon.